everyone this evening to this occasion. And it is a good thing, I believe, for all of us to be here. May I also welcome Professor Hopkins, who's going to serve as a translator. My Tibetan is not as good as it ought to be. It's either minimal or non-existent. So he really is essential, or will be, on occasions during what we hope to do together. I did suggest the other day, in another context, that if anyone had told Sir Francis Younghusband when he went as an Englishman many years ago into Lhasa and into Tibet, if anyone had told him when he left that within a measurable historic span of years, the Dalai Lama would be here with us in London and in Westminster Abbey. It would have seemed to him then, I think, almost inconceivable. But that miracle has happened. It's happened in a sense, in one way, tragically. And all of us know only too well the privations of the Tibetan people and all that the Dalai Lama has done to keep hope alive and to act for them as a rallying and unifying person. I say it's a modern miracle. Technology has annihilated distance. All of us are living together now in one world, cheek by jowl. Faiths which have been immunized, clinically removed from one another for centuries, now recognize themselves as living in the same world and are opening themselves up to one another. It was William Temple, a great Archbishop of Canterbury, who said a long time ago that maybe at a time when the world was shrinking, but was a prey to violence and separation, it might prove providential that the Christian churches were now coming together ecumenically and aware of each other. We live in an even more explosive world today than at the time when he spoke. And I like to think again that it is providential that the great faiths of the world, who have too often been divisive and in conflict with one another, are now opening not only their minds but their hearts to each other, recognizing that we are one people and that together we have a vocation, a constraint, to serve a suffering and tortured humanity. And it is within that context that I welcome most warmly His Holiness. He has now been to some 26 or 27 countries. This is his third visit to the United Kingdom. And wherever he goes, he brings hope. He brings joy in spite of suffering and happiness. And we all know how desperately we need these things. So then, Your Holiness, may I ask you to speak to us, and I can assure you that we are very much looking forward to your message.
He says that this one is the
best. Si. Hola, sorry. Brothers, sisters, I really feel happy to be here in this marvelous church. I have been before, isn't it? Today, together with friends. I really enjoy. Now you see, this whole remain is the same as before. Calm and also cool. Very good. I think you want more sunshine, but I want just more cloud because of the heat. But in any case, I think you are more important. So you see, in this room, in this hall, you see, very pleasant. And also you see, we here, everybody feel or fill one's own, you see, body or heart, happiness, joys, calm. Now, if everyone of this planet have the same experience or same opportunity or the same states of that calmness and peace, that will be, how to say, really, how to say, happier days. But today, our situation is not like that. Some part of our world, I'd say people, living standard is high, and you see all the facilities there. Same time, in one world, you see there some poverty and problems, other problems. And the worst thing is the one's own, you see, lifetime. I think most precious thing is our life. But you see, in some places, you see that very, how to say, precious thing is very much just neglect and using for certain purpose, sirva, purpose. So that is really something you have to think. And since you see, we everybody have the same feeling, and also you see, In deep sense, we are really, you see, brothers and sisters. So you see, every of us have responsibility, you see, to do whatever you can contribute. That is, I think, responsibility for every of us. Now, when we try to think how we can contribute for that thing, the answer, so I always feel, you see, we are lacking compassion and warm-hearted feeling. But that is we are lacking. That is the real, you see, cause for this problem. So now, it is very important to develop, you see, that warm feeling. I usually call human feeling. Now, if oneself ask whether, you see, creation of genuine sense of brotherhood, sisterhood on the basis of love and kindness, whether that can be achieved or not. I often, you see, feel it is difficult to achieve, yet, if we think, you see, is there any other way to achieve better world, you see, through other means? Very difficult to see. You see, spending more and more in, you see, weaponry, or you see, making blocks more and more. You see, exploit to it and each another. Now these things only bring more trouble. Then this is solving problem. And world peace can buy money? No. Or is world peace can produce by machines or computer technology it will bring? No. Since you see the cruelty, as a hatred, which main cause of this trouble, that is within ourselves. So therefore, the remedy of that also within ourselves, we should increase within ourselves. So you see, beside development of genuine brother, sense of brotherhood, sisterhood, beside that, there is not much, you see, means or ways to solve, to achieve better world. So therefore, this is the only alternative. Now that therefore, whether you see we achieve or not, we can achieve or not, that's the only alternative. So you see, wherever I go, whenever I meet people, I simply, you see, with a feeling that I am a human being, nothing more. Just simply a human being meeting a human being. And you see, though you see, there's some people, you see, different culture, different language. In some cases, we can't speak one word. But you see, since with a human face, with a human body, without introduction, without introduce, without language communicate, we can understand, we can know the other's feeling, how much precious his own life, or how much he want to peace or to want happiness. And that is we can know as soon as you realize this is another brother or sister, isn't it? So you see, I always going from place to place with that feeling and express the importance of realization of oneness of all mankind. And the other night, you see, the other day, as I mentioned there, I'd say, and our problem, since you see, entire house, I'd say, the atmosphere is not healthy. As you see, I'm a very weak patient like that. So because of basic atmosphere is not healthy, so you see, due to very small causes, the here and there, is always some problem create. If you see, basic situation is more healthier, you see, more sound, then even you see some problems, you see, may rise, but can easily solve. But because of the basic weakness or something like that. So you see, some problem happened here. Everybody is rushing to solve that problem. But that problem is interrelated in bigger thing. So you see, it becomes very difficult. Why? Now, the basic, the atmosphere is not healthy, not good. Now, the solution, changing that atmosphere, missions or science and money, I don't think can help, nor can solve that direction. You see, that direction can solve only by warm heart. Human compassion. Now, in this respect, the various different religion has special role on this field. I'm not necessarily try to become a religious-minded. Not necessarily try to to have a more believer. What I usually emphasize is, whether believe you a certain deeper thing, you see, believe or not, that is a different matter. The important thing is, we should realize, so long we are one of human citizen, human member of human community, so long you are member of human community, we should think more about our, brothers, sisters, about our the other members of our community. And you see, concern more is others' welfare and less selfish. In In other words, you see, so long you remain in this world, you see, it is very important to practice compassion or love. The compassion or love is, I believe, is not necessarily that is something for religious believer. But this, you see, so long you are member of human community, you need this. The practice of compassion and love, this not only brings, you see, I mean, not only brings, you see, happiness for other, but you yourself, you see, through that way, you get more peace, more tranquility. You see, nobody can say, because of I get such a temper, today I feel very happy. Nobody say that. And no doctor would not say that. Ah, now, in your case, you should have more temper, then you will cure. That kind of thing, nobody can say. The other hand, you see, people used to say, if you be more, you see, less anxiety, less tension, it will bring, you see, how to say, healthier or something like that. So now you see, even one's own, how to say, daily amount of happiness, the love and compassion is most important. Usually, you see, we feel, I mean, if something, some unfortunate things going to happen, or how to say, happen, then you feel angry, hatred, irritate. At that moment, you feel anger comes as your own protector. But if we think more, of course, you see, love and anger, these are the, how to say, I don't know how to explain. Now, I mean, these thoughts come as your friend or as your protector. But if we think, you see, how to say, if we investigate or if we think more, then our friend, anger, friend, one of our friends, so-called anger. That is the real, essentially troublemaker. So you see, up to now, we live quite closely with our anger friend. But I think time has come, we have to make him more distance with that kind of friend. And make us more closer to our another friend. That is, you see, patience, compassion, you see, love. These, how to say, friends are really reliable friends. These friends will bring you more peace, more happiness. The other friend brings you more trouble. You see, at immediate level, it will bring you more, you see, anxiety, more fear, more doubt, more suspicion. And ultimately, that will bring, you see, more trouble, more fighting. Even in a family level, divorce, or fighting with children, or fighting, how to say, even without, I mean, other thing, sometimes, you see, due to that friend, suicide also happening. So now, that is not at all, you see, good friend, isn't it? So, you see, So the various different religions have, you see, message, a very useful message to mankind to develop the genuine brotherhood, sense of brotherhood, sisterhood. So, as you see, you mentioned, now the various different religions come together, forget about these minor differences. And now this is time we have bigger responsibility, more urgent responsibility than a discussion or argument with small matter. So you see, close relation, close contact. This will help, you see, to bring not only harmony or peace within ourselves, but it also, you see, gives, you see, more strength to to contribute for common goal. That is, you see, peace of mankind. Now here, now various different religion. In the philosophical field, there is differences. But all these different philosophy, if you ask what is the main purpose of these different teaching, different philosophy, you can find the answer. The ultimate, the purpose or aim of these different religion is same. One of the main purpose is helping humanity. Try to be a better human being. So since you see the main aim, same, except it's a different method or different, how to say, path, techniques. I'm happy to say to you, now last is a few years, we have much closer understanding between various different religions, especially, you see, Tibetan Buddhist and Christians. We have much more, you see, closer contact. As a result, you see growing mutual respect and mutual learning, which is very useful. And I found sort of, you see, good example. See, almost like, how to say, Kaza. My second parent. Sometimes I call the lady, I mean jokingly, I call as my English mother. So you see, in a way you see big differences. But when you, how to say, reach the real, you see, the ground of humanity, then the elder lady really feel the warm feeling. No difference of one's own mother. And there is other people, the differences. But in fundamentally, just like your brothers, sisters. So I enjoy very much last few days in this country. And now this will be the, you see, last gathering of during this visit. So finally, I want to express, you see, my gratitude, and also I pray all of our friends get more peace, more calm, and with that, I hope, you see, each of our friends, can more contribution for human society, for humanity. And this is my hope. Then I think may I speak something about some Buddhist technique, right? That.
All of us consider compassion to be the chief thing. One of the Buddhist techniques for cultivating compassion is not just to think of beings in general, but to imagine in front of oneself a number of beings who are manifestly stricken with suffering. Then one thinks how they are beset by suffering, and from this point of view develops the compassion, wishing that these beings be free from suffering, then from another point of view, reflects, did I say bereft or beset? Did I say beset by suffering? They are, one reflects that they are beset by suffering and develops the wish that they be free from suffering. Then from another point of view, one reflects on the fact that these same beings are bereft of happiness. And from that point of view, develops the love, wishing that they have happiness and the causes of happiness. Putting these two together, compassion and love, thinking on the fact that they are beset by suffering and bereft of love is very powerful. If you started from the beginning thinking about all beings, it would be too vague and the type of compassion and love generated would not be powerful. But when you start with a small number of beings who are obviously suffering and gain that sort of experience, then gradually you can, stage by stage, extend these feelings to more and more beings.
Then, technically, so so short, Rani Tameva, Ran Jinzing, the Kumuin, the Sam, short, Julia, Nam Tabes, Dumajan, the same Jacob Sam, and Rani Parto, Sur Neverchen, and those Tajatana, Ran Jinzing, Gyan Tonyatida, the Shanlia, the Jinzing Machin, Moda, the top to Guru Samba, the Tayalia, should be paying.
Then another technique is to imagine one's old selfish self that's just looking after one's own welfare on this side, and then imagine a number of beings who are obviously beset by suffering on the other side, and then put yourself as the wise, unbiased being in the middle, judging which of these two is more important, and looking into whether self-cherishing is more suitable or cherishing of others is more suitable. This is very helpful. When one trains in this way, one from the depths of the heart generates a sense that self-cherishing is unsuitable. It's something one does not want. Then another technique is to think again of, is to imagine beings who are stricken by suffering and to make the firm wish that one oneself could take all of this suffering and melt it into oneself and to lift it off of them and in turn to give to all of those beings whatever happiness and causes of happiness one oneself has. This is a very powerful technique for developing determination.
Then
another technique is to reflect on beings who have some sort of prosperity, who have some sort of happiness, who are rich with wealth or have some nice happiness. Now, since it is the case that we're often jealous of people who have a good position, money, happiness, and so forth, what one does here is to train in admiration, admiring the fact that these beings who These beings are not bereft of all happiness. They do have some happiness, and how wonderful it is that they have attained what they have attained. This helps to reduce jealousy and acts as a way of guarding or protecting one's own commitment to the welfare of others. Since these techniques are not connected with any particular philosophy, I thought that they might be interesting and perhaps helpful to you. They might be something that you might take an interest in.
Thank you. Thank you, Bax.
Your Holies, may I say to you that we've been very moved indeed by an approach to spirituality, and I'm going to ask you just about two or three little questions in a moment. When you referred to my wife as your English mother, for one moment I suspected you were going to call me your English grandfather. I feel I just haven't got the wisdom to occupy that particular role, deep as my affection is for His Holiness. I was reminded while you were talking to us of the sort of fellowship of mankind, that when some years ago now, in 1966, Westminster Abbey celebrated its 900th anniversary year, we thought long and hard about a theme which we would carry with us throughout the year and, we hoped, in the years ahead. And that theme finally came to us. It was a very simple one indeed. One people. One people. And we tried to think of ourselves as coming behind all the peaceful, all the relief agencies, all the ironical, ecumenical movements which are trying to build up amongst us the kinds of relationship which ought to exist between people, for we are one. Now, my very simple question to you, Your Holiness, and you have in part, in fact, answered it excellently in what you've already said, but now you have travelled very far to come to the United Kingdom. You've been to Scotland, you've come down through the north of England to the south, and we are very glad indeed that you have travelled so far. What would you say is the kind of contribution which Buddhism can make to help us? And I wonder if there's anything that Christianity has to say which would help you. And perhaps that's a question you might like to reflect around and suggest a few thoughts. What have you, would you like to feel you have within Buddhism, which we need in the West? And what has the West possibly got, which is needed in the East?
You see, I find that, and certainly with meditation, I think especially in the one-pointedness of mind, one-pointedness of mind. But these things our Christian brothers and sisters can learn from Eastern philosophy, in general and particularly from Buddhist teaching. And then you see some technique to develop, you see, compassion or tolerance, as just I mentioned. Now these things could be learned. Then for Buddhist, you see, the Eucharistian tradition, I find, is a great experience in the field of education and health, health service. Now, So you see, in you have many great, you see, experience for, how to say, the in the form of, how to say, the service of community. In East, you see, Buddhist monasteries, Buddhist monk, we have very little, you see, experience. As although, you see, we pray, all centered being. But actual work, you see, in the form of, you see, in education field or some other, you see, field, the monks' is participation and experience, very little. So, you see, I feel, no doubt, we could learn many things from your experience. And then, the Christian of the community, which especially is monks, there the simplicity, way of simplicity. I mean, actually, it's very similar with a Buddhist monk, Christian monk. And there, I think we can further mutual learning. And also, many of the Christian monasteries, while they practiced religion, meantime their, what is it, livelihood, livelihood, sort of, you see, self-sufficiency, isn't it? How to say? Now, in these things, I think a lot of things we have to learn. This is my impression up to now. In future, I think new ideas may come.
That's a very hopeful sign, really, because I always say once we cease to learn, we cease to live, and all the time we are questing for plus ultra, something beyond. And I think that's why it's so valuable to us in the West to have this kind of cross-fertilization, a different kind of culture, but ultimately the same people who have come, as we say in England, to tick on it. Now, I want to say, ask you another little question, which you can reflect around. Now, in Westminster Abbey, there are a lot of memorials, by the way. Most people don't like them, but when you've lived with them long enough, they become quite friendly. But we have a very interesting monument to Sir Isaac Newton, who's usually regarded as a great physicist, mathematician, the law of gravity, and so forth. And certainly on his work, a great deal of modern science has depended. We have Herschel, who was an astronomer, and Your Holiness, you, that's I always think His Holiness has the kind of guy that never could be out of place. I shall have to take on that, I think. But then we have Herschel, who was a great astronomer. He is also interred here. And we have Charles Darwin, The Origin of Species. I did take the head of a religious order, not a Buddhist, Your Holiness, around the Abbey, and when we passed Darwin, he visibly quaked and said to me, "What is that enemy of religion doing in Westminster Abbey?" But what is your attitude to science and technology? You've been to the observatory. I know you've studied astronomy as part of your discipline. How do you see technology? Some people are terribly worried about it. Think 1984, people becoming mechanized, dehumanized. How do you see that?